Hey, welcome to episode 6 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. My name is Jeff. Sitting alongside next to me is my real-life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
We are back to our regularly scheduled programming. We want to thank Sean for being in last week. You can follow Sean on Twitter at NeedMoreSalt. If you are a Houston Astros baseball fan, you might want to give him a follow. He loves Astros baseball. And you can follow us on Twitter at Fully Posable. You can follow us on Instagram at Fully Posable. Download us on iTunes, rate, review, subscribe. We also got some positive feedback on Twitter. We got some feedback from a gentleman named WWF Collector. He has been sending back some positive feedback and he loves the show, and that's great. We love hearing that type of stuff. And if you have negative feedback, please.
We want to hear that too.
Yeah, we want to hear that too. We did receive a Twitter.
A tweet even
from @FrogEdgar with some feedback about what else to do with the show. And I thought that was actually pretty good.
I agree.
We did receive our first comment and wish list, actually, all in one. And it was directed at fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Again, that's fullyposablewfp. Wizard, Fake Sting, Prince Puma. I picked the three worst letters to play this game, and I wish I wouldn't have started this at gmail.com. We also received a question, another one from Flareboy at Flareboy on Twitter. His name is John G. He said he would like us to discuss the Figures Toy Company line that came out in 1999. It was a Legends of Wrestling line, and in that line was Tito Santana, Abdullah the Butcher, Greg Valentine. I'll have Scott kind of go further into this line, but he's said he wanted us to discuss these.
Yeah, so this is kind of the precursor to what Figures Toy Company, they're also making the new Legends of Wrestling line, but this was the original Legends of Wrestling line that came out between, I believe it was 99 and 2002. They released, this looks like, roughly about 20 figures. So here's the line in no particular order that I was able to find. Note that this is really tough to find information on when you go on, because if you type in Figures Toy Company Legends of Wrestling, you're going to get the information about the newer line that's going to be coming out, hopefully this year, from Figures Toy Company, which they've released the head sculpts and they look amazing. They are killing it. Way better than what these look like, but I mean, we're talking, these were 16 years ago. So
yeah.
Anyway, here's the line in no particular order. Tito Santana, Bob Orton Jr., Bruno Sammartino, a young Bruno Sammartino, I might add, Captain Lou, Ox Baker, Superstar Billy Graham, Chief J Strongbow, Ivan Koloff, Baron Von Raschke, Wahoo McDaniel, Ricky Steamboat, Eddie Gilbert, The Sheik, Jimmy Valiant, a referee, Tony Atlas, Kamala, King Kong Bundy, Killer Kowalski, Abdullah the Butcher, Iron Sheik, and Ivan Putski. So there's the entire line. And the interesting thing about these figures is that they released a variant on each one of them, except for a couple. I don't think Captain Lou or the ref had a variant, but they were released as a regular figure, and then they were released with blood. So that was kind of unique. They weren't really doing blood, obviously, on the WWF or WCW figures, so that was kind of a cool thing, because every once in a while on eBay, I'll go on and I'll search for custom figures, and people are making their own blood variants. So Figures Toy Company kind of saw that trend that was happening, and they decided to include it in the figures. I don't know if there was a longer run of the regular versus the bloody. I've looked at prices on some of these. It doesn't look like that's the case. Looks like there were equal runs of both. You can pick a lot of these guys up for pretty cheap. If you want them on the card, they're going to run you anywhere between $20 and $30. If you want them loose, they'll run you about $10. I don't recall how much these were back when they first came
out. I'm not sure either, because I don't ever remember seeing these at KB Toys. In fact, it wasn't until 2005 that I knew that these things even existed.
Well, they actually weren't released to mass market. They were only available on the Figures Toy Company site.
Okay.
Yep. I actually did have one of these. I have Captain Lou, and we met him at a convention in 2005, and he signed it. The only thing I don't like about the Captain Lou figure is that he came in a box.
Yeah, and actually there were a couple that came in a box.
A couple of them did. Now, I'm not sure if that was the initial run or if it was a later run of the figures that came in a box.
I think the initial runs came on card.
Right, because some of them you see with the plastic bubble like you're more used to seeing. But yeah, some of them came in a box.
Because we both got Captain Lou signed. In fact, it was at this show that I realized that these figures even existed. I didn't even know they existed from 99 to 02.
Right.
It was at the 05 show where you have your infamous Virgil story. Do you want to go into that?
Virgil. Yeah, this podcast isn't going to be our 1 hour one from last week.
No, I think
we have some time to tell a story. Okay, so we're at a convention in 2005, and they have a super ticket where you can get the autograph of, I think, like 10 different guys or something for a flat price. So we're going around, and Virgil is there. Virgil was not advertised to be a part of the ticket, and we walk up to Virgil's table because by this time Virgil didn't have the bad rap that Virgil has now. We walk up to Virgil's table, and he immediately introduces himself. He's super nice, and he's over the top. And, hey, Wynn, how's your name? And he's glad-handing and, you know, the whole bit, and patting me on the back. And, hey, man, you want an autograph? I was like, sure. Yeah, let's get you that autograph. What's your name? And I said, Scott. And so he pulls out his Virgil picture, and to Scott, Virgil. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. Thank you. And he hands me the photo, and he goes, that'll be $20. So with me at the convention are Jeff, our good friend Brian, and my daughter Alana, who at the time I think was 4. Brian and Jeff are behind me, and as they're getting ready to also ask Virgil for an autograph, Virgil goes, that'll be $20. They immediately turned around and started walking the other direction. So I was left there to take the infamous Virgil bullet and hand a $20 bill that to this day eats away at me because I could have, in 2004 or 2005, bought 4-foot-longs with that $20, and that bothers me.
I love that story because I remember Brian and I just kind of, like, Virgil had the plague all of a sudden, like he announced he had the plague.
Right.
It was like, whoa, okay, adios, dude. And you did the favors for Virgil that day.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I was looking up at the lights,
but
I did the honors.
Going back to this, I remember that we were looking around at table to table, and I remember seeing the Abdullah the Butcher. And I remember thinking, what is that? Because there are so many knockoff figures, so many generic figures, that I was like, oh, what's this? This is just another knockoff. And I look, and it's Abdullah the Butcher. And the guy had Abdullah blood, no blood. I was like, oh, that's kind of a cool touch. But it didn't ever really focus on those. And again, now, not knowing about these before in 99 to 2002, as I got older, about 2008, 2009, I didn't even know that this was an actual line.
Mm-hmm.
I had no clue. And I don't know if I would have purchased any.
Well, I mean, we did buy the Captain Lou because we were going to get him signed. The cool thing about these figures is that at the time, Jax was still making figures. These were kind of in scale with the Jax figures.
Mm-hmm.
They were around 6 inches tall, 7 inches tall, whatever a regular Jax figure might be. They were in line with that. So if you really wanted to go and create some, you know, some legendary matches with current guys on the Jax roster, that would have happened. A lot of these guys that were in the line did come out later in the Jax Classic figures.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them had been released in the LJN lines and the Hasbro lines. But a lot of them hadn't. Kind of going down the list here, guys that at the time did not have a figure. We were looking at Ox Baker.
Mm-hmm.
Who I think did come out in the Jax Classic line, if I'm not mistaken. I think they released an Ox.
We'll have to verify. I don't remember Ox Baker being in that.
Okay. At the time, Superstar Billy Graham didn't have an action figure. Chief J Strongbow didn't have an action figure. Ivan Koloff did not have an action figure. Wahoo definitely didn't have an action figure. Eddie Gilbert definitely did not have an action figure.
Baron von Roschke was in the AWA.
Correct. He was in the AWA line.
Mm-hmm.
The Sheik, no action figure. Jimmy Valiant, no action figure. Tony Atlas did not have an action figure
at this time.
He did not have an action figure at that time. Kamala was in the LJN line.
Mm-hmm.
Killer Kowalski, no figure. Abdullah was in the AWA line. Iron Sheik was an LJN, and there was no Ivan Putski figure, surprisingly, too. So quite a few of these guys didn't have action figures. So if you were looking to kind of build a classic superstar set before there was the Jax Classic Superstars, this was actually a cool line to look at. You know, as Jeff said, I didn't purchase any either. I bought the Captain Lou just like he did, just to get the signature. It was a cool line.
If I would have known about these, I would have picked up a few. I would have picked up maybe Steamboat, depending on finances at the time, back in 99 to 02.
Yeah.
I would have probably picked up Steamboat, Eddie Gilbert. I mean, I could still pick these guys up, but
yeah.
There's just, my money's going towards the elites, the Mattel lines, and when Figures Toy Company comes out, I'm going to just be throwing money at them.
Right. I think one of the reasons that this line wasn't super popular, too, is around this time that they came out, Jack started with the real scan.
Right.
If you remember. And then you go and you look at some of these figures, And I mean, they're doing the best that they can with the likenesses, but they weren't anything to compare to the Jax figures that were coming out at the time. Those figures were just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there was heavy competition from Jax. Obviously, they were kind of running the game, but these were still cool. They were posable. Their arms were still in certain poses. They didn't have full posability. They weren't fully posable.
Ah.
So, if anything, they would be kind of cool to add to your collection. They're not very expensive. Just a different line. This was actually a really good question from one of our listeners.
And yeah.
I'm glad that he brought it to the table, because this might not have been a line that we would have covered if somebody hadn't brought it up.
So, exactly. We would have,
great request.
We would have totally overlooked it, and we would thank John for sending that question.
Absolutely.
And again, you can follow John at Flareboy on Twitter. So let's ask Scott the question that we love to ask him every week. Did you do any toy spotting?
Toy spotting, I really didn't do any toy spotting this weekend. We did the usual Walmart trip.
Mm-hmm.
Walked down the aisles, continued to see Finn Balor's on the red card with the bent card. Makes me curse the person's name that bent that card every single time I see it. So I have to wait for the next shipment to come in. Let me find a Kevin Owens with a bent card, and I'm going to start setting fires. That best not happen.
Did you go to Toys R Us at all in Modesto, or did you make it down there?
I didn't make it down there.
Gotcha.
No,
gotcha.
I didn't make it down there. I'm hoping to get down there this weekend. I really want to find that Brian with the two belts before they start completely drying up, because
right.
I'm already seeing them on eBay and Amazon at around $40 a pop.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so they're getting pretty scarce out there.
We did do some toy spotting, not in the place that we went to San Leandro Walmart. They didn't have anything. They had the Elite 39 with Bulldog, Ziggler, Sid, but here's the other kicker. I've never seen this before. They had the Elites on sale.
Really?
They knocked them down $2. And they were selling them for $17.84, something like that.
Man, that's good.
I know, and I held the Bulldog, but I knew I wasn't going to be walking out of Walmart under $100. So I ended up putting the Bulldog back, because I've already got it. And hopefully I'll find it later, maybe at a cheaper price, and I can scoop them up and open up, put them on that shelf that
right.
I have. They didn't have anything, so...
That seems to be a trend with Walmart. Thanks to Toy Spotting on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's awesome, by the way.
Love Jeff.
I'm seeing a lot of people complaining about Walmart's selection.
Yeah.
Target seems to be a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
Still can't find that Heenan family.
I know.
But everybody seems to complain about Walmart's selection. It's mm-hmm. pretty bad.
It's not great, because I know the one in Livermore, they're so far behind. They're on Elite 36, I believe. The one in Livermore is just awful.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll stop by there, and I'm like, why did I do that? Why did I stop off?
Yeah.
I should have just gone to the Target a few miles down and see if they had the Heenan family or Jimmy Hart. I still need Jimmy Hart for the
Hall of Fame.
The Hall of Fame. Thank you. So with all that said, quick little beginning, let's go into our news. Okay, so new creative superstars were shown on Wrestling Figs. Okay, and that's about as much as we're going to say for those. So Walmart exclusives were announced, and they're going to be dropped later this year. They have Seth in white, the outfit that he wore against Sting and Cena.
Yep.
Cesaro, X-Pac, and Triple H. I'm going to get the Seth.
No doubt purchasing the Seth.
Exactly.
It's going to be more awesome when they release him in the Elite set,
mm-hmm.
obviously, but... That figure's awesome.
I know.
It's going to be the first one that comes out, which is smart, so I'm picking it up.
We tweeted out the pictures on Friday night, and I put that Seth is a must-buy.
A must-purchase, yeah.
The X-Pac, he's in the red and black outfit that he has.
I have no complaints about that figure. It reminds me of the Jax figure, the first X-Pac Jax figure that came out, which I was a huge fan of. I couldn't wait till that figure hit the shelves. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I probably won't buy it. But I think it looks really good. It definitely captures that outfit that he wore back in the late 90s.
I got the X-Pac Elite from Elite 32, I believe.
And he was in the green, right?
He was black in the green. And green. And I got that figure, and I'm like, okay, I'm good on X-Pacs now.
Yeah, see, that's
I like X-Pac.
Yeah.
I do like X-Pac.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm not rushing out to get an X-Pac figure.
Right.
I did get that one, and I'm good on Xbox.
And now you're good on Xbox.
Triple H and Cesaro.
Pass and pass for me.
Yeah, I do like Cesaro. Cesaro is one of my favorite wrestlers, but I don't need every figure of his.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the problem when you start to saturate the market with that many figures.
I did like the Elite, and unfortunately I saw this on the pegs every time I went to a Walmart or a Target, and it was the one with the Andre the Giant trophy.
Yes.
I love that figure. I absolutely love that figure, but unfortunately it sat on the pegs. And I
felt you didn't buy it.
No, I did buy it.
Oh, you did buy it.
I apologize.
Okay.
I did buy it. But every time I went to a Walmart, it was sitting there, and there was an abundance of them.
Yes.
And I felt bad. I was like, oh, come on, people, buy this.
Buy this actually, Cesaro figure.
Yeah, it's actually really cool. Okay, so there's no announcement about this yet, but I did find a little kind of a Reddit post, and it's on a rumored Elite 43. And so, again, take this as a rumor. This isn't factual. But in this series that is rumored, again, it's Kevin Owens, Samoa Joe, Big Boss Man, Bret Hart, Jim the Anvil Neidhart. Excited. And Kofi. Hopefully Kofi isn't methed up.
Right.
Kevin Owens is a must-buy for us.
Well, let's preface your rumor with, if this is the same guy that broke the news about the previous like 5 or 6 Elite sets, you can almost take this as truth. Because that guy has nailed every single set that's come out. I don't know if he works for Mattel or what, but sometimes that happens on Reddit.
Right.
I'm really hoping that this is not a rumor, that this is in fact going to happen, because I'm literally going to purchase every figure in this set except for Kofi. No offense to Kofi.
Yeah. I am too. I do have the Big Boss Man, and I'm looking at the Big Boss Man Toys R Us Elite. The Kevin Owens getting, Samoa Joe getting.
Those are no doubters.
Yeah, Big Boss Man, I'm gonna think about Bret and Jim. I can't wait to see the pictures on those.
Yep.
I really can't. Kofi, I do like Kofi.
It just goes back to the market saturation of Kofi action figures, and you already have like 3 or 4 on your wall.
Exactly.
I mean, unless he like completely looks amazing and you see Kofi's going to be signing somewhere, it might be worth it to get it signed, because it is an Elite and they always look better on the wall being hung up.
So. Exactly. The Kevin Owens I'm going to get 2 of, just like the Funko. I'm getting like...
There's no doubt.
Yeah. I'm picturing Kevin Owens t-shirt with IC title.
That would make sense.
Samoa Joe, he'll come with a towel, I can almost guarantee. Bret and Jim, I'm thinking that they're going to be in their old garb of the Hart Foundation look of 85, 86 time.
Right.
I'm hoping.
What accessories do you put with them? The jackets?
The old tag titles.
That would be even better.
That would be great, because Yoko came with those 2 tag titles.
Right.
Why not throw those in with Bret and Jim?
And why not put the NXT title in with Kevin Owens along with the IC title?
Yeah, they did that with Paige.
Exactly.
If this is true, I'm excited about this series. So Elite 39, I was excited about. Elite 40, I bought the whole set.
Right.
Elite 41 with Finn Balor. Elite 42 that we discussed last week with...
The Nasties.
With the Nasties. These last 4 or 5 sets, dude, they have been hitting with me.
I'm really liking the inclusion of the Legends in these sets. I am really liking that Mattel is doing this. Because, again, we've really harped on the fact that they got rid of Matty Collector.
Yep.
And so they're releasing the Legends and the Elite set. It's like, okay, we took that away, but hopefully this kind of makes it better.
Yeah.
And so we're getting guys like Sid and Bulldog and the Hart Foundation, and please give us the British Bulldogs in a future Elite set.
Yes.
And I will throw my hands up in joy and
I'm hoping,
set off fireworks.
I'm hoping that Bret and Jim are in the blue and black. Like their WrestleMania.
That would be an interesting choice.
Like their WrestleMania 2.
That would be an interesting choice, because that is not the iconic Hart Foundation look. That is more of like...
The hardcore fan?
Yeah. Remember, they did a Bret in blue in the Jax Classics line.
They did.
Not that there was anything wrong with that, but it's just not the iconic Hart Foundation look. I think that would be more in line with like what you're going to see at or what you saw at WrestleMania 3 with the basic pink and black tag titles.
The all pink.
Yes.
That would be cool.
Even that would be awesome too.
A little part of me wants the blue and the black, Bret and Jim.
Yep.
But if they go all pink, here's my money. Here you go.
Yeah.
Either way, they're getting my money on those 2.
Yeah, that's an easy sell for me too.
Exactly.
Hands down, easy sell.
So again, that is a rumor. It's not official. No pictures have been posted on the ringside. No announcement or anything like that. So after all that, yeah, actually it was a short news, unlike last week where it took over the whole show.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's get back to our LJN Series 5. Bring home all the action! And now the WWF Superstar! Bring home all the action! LJN! Okay, Scott, you want to go down the line of LJN Series 5?
Absolutely. So the first up in LJN Series 5, we have adorable Adrian Adonis.
They did it. They did that back in Series 4? 3? Didn't they already do an adorable?
That is a good question. So, yeah, the thing is that these were coming out on the black cards.
Series 4.
So they did it in Series 4. That would have been a blue card.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe what the Series 5 is, I guess I should have said this before we started off with LJ in Series 5. These were the ones that you could only get in the wrestling magazines.
Mm-hmm.
You found that place. I think it was called The Wrestling Ring. These were the ones that you found. These were the black card series. And so they did release some of the other figures that were in previous lines. We're going to come across a couple of them here. Adorable Adrian being the first on a black card.
Mm-hmm.
We did not get that one.
No.
Let's just run through the line here real quick. We've got Adorable Adrian Adonis, Bam Bam Bigelow, first in the line. Demolition Axe, also his first one. Mm-hmm. Hacksaw Jim Duggan with the 2x4. Jeff grumbled at the Demolition Axe, and we'll get into why. Honky Tonk Man. Hulk Hogan in the red or white shirt with the heavyweight title. Luscious Johnny Valiant. One Man Gang. The Ref in a blue or white shirt. Rick Martel in his white Strike Force trunks. Slick with his hat. I believe he came with a cane, too. I might be mistaken on that. Ted DiBiase. And Tito Santana in also his white Strike Force trunks. So starting at the top, Adorable Adrian. We've already had a lot of discussions about that figure. I think we can move along from him.
Yep.
Next up, Bam Bam Bigelow. Your thoughts
love
on this figure?
Love this figure.
I agree.
I didn't like the pose.
You didn't like the pose?
No, because he was kind of in a...
Hunkered over, kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But that didn't stop me from not using him. I used him constantly.
I did too. He was, if not my favorite figure... In the line, right near the top.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the Bigelow figure. See, I didn't mind the pose because he did that finishing move where he yanked on the ropes and shot over.
Mm-hmm.
And you could kind of like hunker his arms over the top rope and pull back and fire him up and over.
That's a good point.
I didn't mind the pose. It was easily worked around because the figure was just so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they nailed the costume. Mm-hmm. They nailed the face. They nailed the head tattoo. I loved it.
And we bashed the paint jobs.
Yes.
The paint jobs on these ones, they must have been doing something different because I don't remember a lot of paint coming off of any of these guys.
And we played with these guys a lot.
Like, I remember the Honky Tonk Man jumping down the list of a couple.
Yeah.
He had marks on his nose.
Right, the paint chipped off of the nose.
Exactly.
Yes.
But as far as his blue costume, not much paint came off.
Right.
So they must have been doing something to change up the paint job on these.
And this made us happy because Mom and Dad were paying $20 a pop for each of these figures, not including shipping.
Exactly.
So that paint better stay on.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not taking Sharpies to these. That paint needs to stay on. Next up, and this is going to get Jeff grumbling pretty good here, Demolition Axe.
This infuriated me big time because as happy as I was that we got Demolition Axe, Scott's reading off the list. There was no Demolition Smash. So I couldn't form Demolition. This drove me absolutely insane. I didn't have a tag partner for Axe. So I didn't use Axe.
You did have a tag team partner for him in the next series. If you did what I did, you pretended that Warlord was his tag team partner.
I did not do that.
You didn't do that.
I did not.
Okay, that was my move. Mm-hmm. I solaced myself with this travesty that LJN threw upon us. And I teamed Axe and Warlord together, and they were, I don't even remember what I called them, but like Demolition Pain or something like that. Like,
yeah.
Why they never released Smash and Barbarian on the, and sorry, we're jumping ahead here to the next series, but it ties into the next series as well. I don't know why they didn't release them. There was no good reason why they had to split them up. From what I understand, there were pictures produced. So there were definitely prototypes. They've never been shown anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody can find them, please post them to our Twitter. Send us something because we would love to see them. And in fact, after we're done with Series 6 in the next podcast, we can go over the rumored line that was supposed to be Series 7 and never happened.
Mm-hmm.
That had some killer figures, two of which were Barbarian and Smash.
And Demolition Smash. That was Series 7 that was rumored to come out, but it never did.
Rumored, but never came out. Yep.
Yeah.
So there's our beef with Demolition Axe and not having a partner in crime.
And as I said, he didn't get used by me. Actually, I wasn't a fan of the pose either.
It wasn't that great.
It was like Adorable Adrian Adonis in Series 4. It was like...
Wasn't it like Jesse Ventura's pose?
Thank you. That was the one I was thinking of.
Yeah.
I didn't like the pose.
Yeah.
I didn't like it on Adorable, and I didn't like it on Jesse.
Yeah, just that's unfortunate that they never released a tag team. I thought the figure was cool. I thought the costume was awesome, the face paint, the whole bit. I thought it was a cool-looking figure. Wasn't a big fan of the pose either, but you could clothesline all day with the thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was okay. And then I had Warlord to team up with them, so I did use them occasionally. And I was a huge fan of the Road Warriors.
Yeah.
And the only Road Warriors figures I had at the time were the Remcos.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of sated the I have to be playing with the LJN face-painted guys, and I'll settle for this.
Right.
All right, well, there's our gripe on Demolition Axe not having a buddy. The next one in the line, Hacksaw Jim Duggan with the 2x4.
We had that, right?
We did have that.
He was in black trunks?
He was in black trunks.
That's right. Yeah, I used him a little bit.
I did too.
I feel bad because we're talking about all these figures we used and didn't use. And Mom and Dad shelled out so much money.
They did.
And
They did.
I know, and I feel bad saying, oh, Jim Duggan got used a little bit. I feel bad about that, but at the same time, Duggan got used. He was sometimes I'd have him face off against face versus face, and I'd have him face off against Billy Jack for some reason. I don't know why I did that, but I did. Or he would face Bigelow. But overall, didn't use him as much as I should have.
Yeah, I actually used him quite a bit. These were the figures, again, Mom and Dad paid $20 a pop for them. So, and plus, they were newer, you know, so when I got them, you know, I was more excited to play with the newer action figures. And so I actually used Duggan a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I did use him a lot. I didn't mind his pose so much.
His pose was cool. It was like a
body slam pose.
Yeah, it was one arm flexing, one arm down.
Yeah, and you could also fit the 2x4 into his hand, which I thought was a cool touch.
That was a cool touch. Well, if they put Damien in Jake's arms, they could put...
Right. Exactly. But they actually, I think they had a slot in his hand, or they opened up his hand enough to where you could fit the 2x4 through. So that was kind of cool. Next up. Honky Tonk Man.
This figure got used by me a lot.
You did use him a lot. Well, he was the biggest heel at the time.
Exactly.
And he was the Intercontinental Champion.
He was the IC champ. I used this figure constantly. I used him so much that his nose was getting paint chips on him, like I mentioned earlier.
Yep.
So.
And I would get pissed at you because of that, because I'd be like, dude, I'm using Honky Tonk Man. He has no nose. Like, it's blue.
His hands would be all chipped up, and I messed that figure up, but it was from me playing with him all the time.
I was the exact opposite. I didn't really use Honky Tonk Man too often.
Can I guess why?
Yes.
The blue jumpsuit.
Horrible.
You didn't like it.
Again, I understand why they did it. It was just like Nikolai Volkoff in the red USSR shirt. Just, it drove me nuts that he was in the jumpsuit. Like, that's not a realistic wrestling match happening with him in the jumpsuit, except SummerSlam 88, which I think... Jumping ahead again, you'll know why, but I think I recreated that SummerSlam 88 match over and over and over again, because that was the only match I could have with Honky in a jumpsuit.
We will get to that figure next week.
Next up, we have Hulk Hogan in the red or white shirt with the title.
Do you know how much this figure is going for now? I know.
Man, if only. And what's funny is because we already had Hogan...
Mm-hmm.
And because these figures were $20 a pop, mm-hmm. we had to use the money sparingly, and you and I both agreed we don't need another Hogan. As cool as he looked,
right.
And this is an awesome Hogan figure.
Yes.
Just a killer Hogan figure. They nailed it. We passed on him, unfortunately. I don't know which one we would have ended up with, because apparently it was random,
right.
Whether you received the blue or the red or the white shirt. Man, looking back, I wish we wouldn't have passed on this figure.
I know.
I've seen pictures of it. I've seen him on eBay. And oh, man. If I ever see him at a toy show or something for cheap, I'm going to grab him. But
so Monday night, I had to drop my car off over at Mom's and Dad's. They were going to take it into the shop. I walk up to their front door, and I posted pictures of this on Twitter at Fully Posable. I walk up to the front door, and Dad has sitting on the front step Hulk Hogan on card LJN Series 1.
Series one.
Dad kept it in package for 31 years. Yeah,
about that, yep.
He kept it on card in his nightstand. And he also had Captain Lou, which was in pristine condition. That one was opened. I'm not sure why that one was open. But here's the funny part. So I walk up. Our parents have a glass screen door. And as I walk up, he has them sitting on the step. And my eyes, like, get the size of saucers, dude. But here's the kicker.
It's like Christmas morning all over again.
Exactly. Yeah. Walking downstairs with the bags and everything. But here's the kicker. Hope, our parents' dog, is running up and down the stairs with her tail whacking against the card.
Unacceptable.
And I'm like, no, don't, no. Stop, Hope, calm down. And I'm trying to rip open the screen door, trying to get in, but Dad had locked it.
Oh, man.
And so our editor, Celeste... was walking around with the key, and Dad is walking from his chair over to the step, and Hope is running up.
Watching all of this travesty happen to the Hogan figure.
I'm like, Hope, calm down. It's okay. It's okay. Because Hope loves Celeste. Hope goes crazy when she sees Celeste. But the tail is whacking against the car, and I'm like, stop, stop, stop. Like, I'm just totally marking out right now. I'm like, stop.
Oh, man.
But we went to dinner with Dad, and he was sitting there, and he goes, don't I have that Hogan LJN Series 1? I was like, yeah, you do.
Mm-hmm.
I was all, I'm almost 100% positive it's in your nightstand. So Dad found it and put it on the steps, and Hope's tail is whacking against the card.
Man.
I'm like, whack against Albano. That's
yeah,
just
we don't care about him. He's a hunk of rubber at this point. Like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that was kind
I'm still saying when you go to WrestleMania, if you see Hogan's doing a signing, which we can find on WrestlingFigs.com, you need to go and get that figure signed.
Do I get it in black Sharpie? What do I, like you mentioned it earlier, you stopped by the office.
Yeah, black Sharpie.
Black Sharpie. No paint pen?
No. Just straight up black Sharpie. Okay. It's a blue background.
Yes.
It calls for black Sharpie. You have the Greg Valentine one, mint on card, signed. Put the Hogan right next to it.
All right.
It's worth it. That's such a vintage, like you think of wrestling figures, that is literally the first figure that pops up in my head.
You're right. That's the one everybody remembers, too. Right. When they think back to their childhood and collecting quote-unquote wrestling figures, they're like, oh, I had the Hogan LJN, the yellow trunks.
Exactly. Every kid had the Hogan in yellow trunks.
Yep.
Every kid.
Yep.
So next on the list, we have Luscious Johnny Valiant.
We didn't have this figure, did we?
I don't believe we did.
I don't think we did.
We passed on him.
I do not remember much about this figure because, again, we weren't seeing him in stores. Right. So I don't remember this figure.
Yeah, we never saw the black card in the stores.
No.
They pretty much stopped shipping after, like, Series
4,
and we only got about half that line. So, Luscious Johnny Valiant, we definitely did not have him. He was a cool-looking figure, but again, we had to be super choosy with the figures that we were purchasing at this point.
Describe him. I don't remember ever seeing this figure.
I believe he was wearing his normal pants, jacket, and he had a pair of star sunglasses on and a headband.
Oh, okay.
If I'm remembering Johnny Valiant correctly. We did see him in the magazine, but we were, again, you know, not getting managers at this point. We were done with that. Very choosing on which figures we were going to get.
Yeah.
And he was not one of them.
Yeah.
Next, we have One Man Gang.
Use this figure again all the time.
Why did we use the super fat wrestlers a ton?
Because Vince likes the super fat wrestlers.
It was the super heavyweight era. It was. Very true.
I used this figure a lot, and he faced Bam Bam a lot.
Yeah. Me too.
He also would come in and at the ripe old age of 8, booking my shows, he would come in and destroy Hogan.
Yes.
And he would come in with Bundy or something. I don't know why I had him and Bundy come in. Maybe because they were the two big guys.
Yeah.
But they would come in and destroy Hogan.
Yeah. And then Hogan would get his comeuppance in the next card. Okay. So the next one we have on the list is... next, we have the referee in a blue or white shirt.
We had the ref.
We did have the ref, but I don't think we purchased him through the... I thought we bought him on a blue card. For some reason, like we saw him at Toys R Us or something.
I think you're correct. Because he was posed like a body slam pose.
Yes,
with
exactly.
With a thumb sticking out,
sticking out, yeah.
And that was weird. I was like, okay, cool. I have a ref to count three, you know?
Exactly. And that's what he was for. He would take bumps all the time, sometimes more than our One Man Gang and Bam Bam Bigelow figures.
Exactly.
So yeah, we did have the ref. I mean, just a cool addition. You have to have a referee in the ring. It just added that extra element that now you can take out a ref.
Yep.
And then one of your managers can come in and recreate havoc. And that was a cool touch. I liked having a ref in the ring.
Yep.
Fun to play with.
Yep.
Next, Rick Martel in his Strike Force trunks.
This was actually a mark out moment for me because of how big of a Strike Force fan I was.
You were a huge Strike Force fan.
Yes. Do I go into the story? I'm just setting myself up for this.
Yes, you are, because I was going to bring it up whether you did or not.
You tell it then.
No, go ahead. You were the Strike Force fan.
Our parents took us to a closed circuit pay-per-view at the Oakland Coliseum. It was for WrestleMania 4. And on that show, Strike Force lost the tag titles against Demolition, and I started to cry. And
how old were you?
I was about 7 or 8.
That was for the record.
I'm setting myself up for some backlash, but it's wrestling, so who hasn't cried during a wrestling moment?
If anybody has a crying Michael Jordan meme that they can throw at Jeff, him watching Strike Force or something, it would be awesome. I'm not a Photoshop guy, but if anybody could put that together, that would be sweet.
But I remember after WrestleMania 4, after the closed circuit thing, I kept thinking, there's got to be a way that Jack Tunney can reverse that. Jack Tunney has to reverse this.
Obviously saw the cane being used.
Yeah. It's on video. Why isn't Jack Tunney reversing it? If we saw it, why didn't Tunney see it? He should be watching his own product, you know? And it did not get reversed, and I was upset. So, anyways, but I was such a huge Strikeforce fan that when we got the Rick Martel figure, he used it constantly.
Yes.
In fact, this was the only time I used Axe. It would be a one-on-one match against him and Martel, Strikeforce against Demolition.
Yeah.
So I used Martel also with Tito.
Because you wanted Strikeforce.
Yes.
And I was like, darn it, we already have Tito in the blue trunks.
Yeah.
Same figure, repaint, but Jeff wants Strikeforce, and yeah. You were a huge Strikeforce fan. So it was like, all right, let's just get Tito in the white trunks.
Yes, and I also used them against the Hart Foundation. And they carried my tag belts for a long, long time.
In fact, I think once you got Strikeforce, you never had them lose the tag titles. I think you retired your LJN figures with Strikeforce as the tag champ.
I think you're right, actually.
Okay.
Did you use Martel?
A lot.
You did?
Yeah, him and Tito all the time. Again, against the Bulldogs, you know, mm-hmm. do a face versus face against the Hart Foundation. It would have been awesome if we had the Killer Bees,
mm-hmm.
which we did not. That's well, okay, though.
Until a year and a half ago.
Until a year and a half ago, yeah. Exactly. But I've kind of stopped playing with LJNs, so.
We're leaving them on card.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not taking any of our figures out unless we buy two of them.
Right. You always have to have that double.
Exactly.
So we've covered Tito Santana to go along with the Rick Martel. The next figure in the set is Slick with his hat.
Loved it.
You like Slick?
I love this figure.
Yeah, I was a big fan of all the manager figures, really. I think they nailed all of them. There weren't really any bad manager figures.
Mm-hmm.
So again, he just added that extra. You could bring him down to the ring with One Man Gang, which was awesome.
Yep.
He would run interference.
Yep.
I loved the managers, and I've talked about that before. So yeah, Slick, they nailed him.
Slick was in a beige jacket?
Yeah, it was like a beige or maybe a gray suit.
Yeah.
And then the hat, I think, yeah. was black, and it had like a yellow something or other on it.
Yep. I love that figure. As you said, he was always accompanying One Man Gang down.
Yep. And the last figure in LJN Series 5, Ted DiBiase.
I'm going to have you go first.
Well, you know what I'm going to say.
I know about the suit.
And that's why I disliked having the figure having to do matches with it.
But there was one other thing that came...
Yeah, he was holding money.
He was holding money.
Yep.
During my matches, he's holding money. I use this figure a lot, but it was kind of like, get rid of the money, you know? It just kind of bothered me when I did use the Ted DiBiase figure.
Towards the end of the match, you could pretend it was a foreign object.
And you could stuff it into the guy's mouth.
or smack him about the head with it, like pretend it's brass knuckles or something. So that was okay. But again, he's wearing... It was almost like this was a great figure for display, and it was.
I mean,
he was in his black outfit. He had the dollar signs on his lapels on his jacket. I thought the sculpt was good.
Mm-hmm.
They did a good job on his face.
Mm-hmm.
He was holding money, which, I mean, he was a million-dollar man. He threw money around at everybody. But, man, they put him in a suit holding money. There wasn't much you could do with this guy in the ring.
Correct.
Which is why I didn't use him a ton. I more had him as like a manager role with Andre
mm-hmm.
when I used him.
Mm-hmm.
What could have been with this figure? If they had put him in trunks or something, or even not holding money.
Yeah.
I definitely would have used him a lot more.
My two favorite figures visually in this series. Actually, I'm going to throw Axe in there because visually they did do a great job on the Axe figure.
Yeah.
With the coat, the suit.
The black and red makeup.
Exactly. I thought they did a great job. I love the Bigelow figure.
Yes.
Ted DiBiase was also visually one of the best looking figures in this.
No doubt about it. Like yeah. I said, more of a display figure than this kid is going to sit down and play with this figure.
Exactly, exactly. So that wraps up Series 5. Next week, it's our last series of the LJN, and then we go into Remco?
Yeah, let's do Remco.
We can do Remco AWA figures. We'll go back to that.
Yeah.
Next week, we'll be doing LJN Series 6. And after our LJN series, we love to go into our wish list. So let's go. We did receive our very first email on fullyposablewfp@gmail.com, and it's a comment and wish list, and it comes from a listener who's named Shannon. This is great. Like, I always wondered what kind of genre we're reaching, and our first comment actually came from a lady named Shannon. This is what she said. She says, "Hey guys, listen to all the podcasts today while cleaning houses. What a great job. Kept me entertained the whole time. Love hearing you two talk about the different figure lines. The stories you shared from when you were kids was my favorite, especially when you told us about the different figures you had and the matches you would recreate with the figures. Now onto my wish list. Being a women's wrestling fan, my favorite is Trish Stratus." Can't go wrong with that.
Nope.
"I would love a two-pack with Trish Stratus and Bubba Ray, complete with a folding table. Seeing Trish go through a table was so awesome to me, she immediately became my favorite. Keep up the good work, guys. Nothing makes me happier than seeing you two do what you love. Signed off by Shannon."
That's awesome.
That is great. And we hope to get more of that. If you guys want to send in your wish list, you can send it in to FullyPosableWFP. That's a great wish list.
I completely agree. It is such an iconic moment from the Attitude Era.
Uh-huh.
Bubba putting Trish through the table.
Bubba putting Trish through the table. Bubba putting May through the table.
Exactly.
These are all
Lita,
great.
Yeah.
So on episode 5, Sean mentioned about doing battle pack from where they did a scene from a match.
Right.
Like the Hardys were doing the, what's their finishing move?
The Twist of Fate.
Twist of Fate, thank you.
Yeah, the Jax line.
Yep. I apologize. Jax did that Twist of Fate with the Hardys. I could picture something like this.
That would be awesome.
That would be really, really cool. And I hope they do make it, Shannon. That's actually a really great wish list. And
absolutely.
I applaud that. Hopefully you guys will send in your wish list also. Thank you, Shannon, for sending that in.
Thank you, Shannon.
Scott, you want to go first with your wish list?
I'd love to.
Okay.
I've actually been thinking about my wish list since last week.
Okay.
I'm like, man, who do I want to see? Who would I love to purchase a figure of? And I was driving somewhere, and it hit me.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see Mattel take some of the most iconic matches ever and release an elite two-pack of the guys involved in that match, complete with the outfit that they were wearing to the ring. So what I'm thinking,
But they're wearing clothes. You don't like that.
Clothes are removable. Well, you know what I mean.
Yes.
So my immediate thought was, and I immediately got happy when I thought about this, I put out on Twitter the other night, my favorite match of all time is Ricky Steamboat versus Randy Savage from WrestleMania 3.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our supporters, one of the guys we got positive feedback from, at Frog Edgar, disagreed. He said the modern matches are better. He said basically that match doesn't stand up compared to modern matches, which... everybody's entitled to their opinion, but to this day, that is still my favorite match ever.
Mm-hmm.
My second favorite is Sasha and Bayley from...
Brooklyn. Nice.
That's my second favorite match of all time. I would love to see a two-pack, an elite two-pack of Savage and Steamboat, with Steamboat in his white gi, or the jacket, the white pants, the white boots, all of the trim. You could even throw a George Steele in there if you wanted to. No, I'm just kidding. We don't need to go that far. The Ricky Steamboat complete ring outfit, and then Randy Savage in, correct me if I'm wrong, his robe. We have not gotten a Randy figure in his robe.
We have not. McFarlane did do that sculpt of Randy.
Oh, God.
I have that up on my I have that up on my table, and I'll post that on Fully Posable. I don't think I have yet. And we'll post it on our Instagram account also. That's the only thing with a robe that we've gotten so far.
There has not been a Randy figure with the robe.
They did have Randy in the defining moment with the jacket from WrestleMania 7.
From 7, right.
But no robe yet.
No robe. And that is an iconic Randy look with the arms outstretched, the robe stretched with them, just the whole Macho Man across the back. I would even be happy with a defining moments 2-pack of Savage and Steamboat, with Savage with his arms outstretched, wearing the Macho Man robe where you could see the back of it with the sunglasses and Macho Man. That being that my favorite match of all time is that, I would love to see a two-sided defining moments. Elite's off the table now. I want a defining moments because you got the front and the back where you can see through, and Ricky had the whole dragon decorative on the back of his jacket. I think that would be awesome.
I'm just picturing that in my head. I wish they would have put that out instead of Nation of Domination.
Which one would have sold more?
My personal opinion?
Who are you going to buy?
Oh, I'm going to buy Savage and Steamboat.
Exactly.
Like, I'm not purchasing the Farouk and Rock.
Mm-hmm.
I would purchase that.
See, and they, like you mentioned, they did do the Macho Man from 7. They also released the Warrior from 7. Imagine how cool a two-pack would have been.
Yeah.
How much would that cost, though? That's the kicker, is that each defining moment is anywhere from $25 to $30 in the store.
Right, right.
So you release a two-pack, you're probably looking at about $40, easy. $40, $45. But you know what? If it's a match that you love and they nail the figures, of course you're going to buy it. Would I spend $45 on that two-pack? In a second, I would Absolutely.
That is a great wish list. Okay, so I need to start going first on these wish lists because yours is so hard to top. When you did the Daniel Bryan.
Oh, sorry.
I was thinking about it. I can't top these. Oh, here's mine. I want this.
So moving forward, you lead off.
I will go. I can think of like Hogan and Andre from 3.
Oh, man. Yeah, Cena and Triple H from 22. Oh. Think about the outfits. Well, they already did a Triple H
mm-hmm.
from that. But, I mean, even that would be awesome to do again.
Yeah.
Why not?
Why not?
It was such an awesome costume. Sting and Triple H from this year.
Yeah.
From their entrance. I mean, there's just so many you could do. But that would be my leadoff.
Would be
two-pack and see how it does.
Savage and Steamboat.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, it doesn't hurt to throw these figures out and see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, they're so quick, and we've mentioned this, to throw out the gimmick figures.
Mm-hmm.
I think this would draw way more money than, you know, another creator, wrestler, gimmick figure. Do it in limited quantities. It's going to sell.
Yeah. And I honestly believe that it would be backordered on ringside.
Mm, I agree.
Absolutely. Well, what do I do now?
Girl, well, there goes my Mattel Outback Jack figure. All right, man.
Well, I'm going to just turn my wish list over. my wish list for this week. So I don't know if Figures Toy Company can do figures from Lucha Underground. And I know you haven't seen much of Lucha Underground. There is a wrestler, his name is Pentagon Jr.
Okay.
So Pentagon Jr. wears this full getup, cut off sleeves, but it's a full pants. It's kind of like a shiny outfit.
Okay.
He's got a mask on, but his bottom part of his mouth is just painted. This is stuff like Scary Nightmares is made of, dude.
Nice.
Like you see this guy and you're just, every time I see this guy, I'm like, I'm freaked out. You know, this guy, holy crap. You know, I hope this isn't the last thing I see before I go to bed, you know.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'll see a kitten or something.
You know? Yeah, I need to watch cartoons.
Yeah, exactly. But I would love a Pentagon Jr. figure because every time I see this guy, I'm like, oh, Figures Toy Company or whoever could just do so much with this guy.
Well, Joey Ryan is under contract to Lucha Underground.
And they are making a Joey Ryan.
And they're making a figure of him. So I don't know the exclusivity of the Lucha Underground talent.
Well, Pentagon has been showing up. Didn't he show up at a PWG event?
I believe so.
I think he did.
So that means he can take other indie bookings.
Right. And I don't see why these guys can't sign contracts with a toy company.
Right.
Lucha doesn't have a toy company. And it's a TV show. It's more of a TV show than it is a wrestling product. And I don't see why these guys can't sign with Figures Toy Company. As far as anybody else, I don't think that anybody else from Lucha has signed.
Right.
Except for Joey Ryan, but Joey Ryan signed his contract before he went on to Lucha.
True.
So I would love a Pentagon Jr. figure. I know you get the Spanish version.
Yeah, and that's why I can't watch it.
Exactly. And I was with you because it wasn't until episode 2 of Lucha Underground season 1 that I knew that there was an English version. I thought it was all Spanish.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't watch this.
I tried to watch the first episode and I love the action,
mm-hmm.
but I like to have the commentary with the matches and I couldn't put it on mute and watch the matches. It's just not the same. You're not hearing the crowd.
And Stryker and Vamp do such a great job on that show. They are such a big puzzle piece to that show, along with all these other guys that are helping put this show together, you know, between Prince Puma, Pentagon. Just all these guys are helping make it great. Like, it's a must watch. Like, New Japan, this is another show I have to watch every week. And I look forward to watching it. It's not like Monday Night Raw, where after the first hour and a half, I'm like, oh my God, make this end, you know? You know, going back to my wish list, I would love a Pentagon Jr. figure.
All right.
And Google them, you'll see what I mean.
Okay.
They can do a lot with this guy.
Awesome. Well, hopefully he gets a figure.
Hopefully. And hopefully a lot of those Lucha guys do, because Brian Cage is in it.
Yep.
They call him Cage.
Oh, his name is Cage?
No, they call him Cage. That's his name. They call him Cage. When he's introduced to the ring, the announcer says, they call him Cage. Like, just call him Cage, please. I love Lucha Underground. I absolutely love this. After all that, shorter show this week, thank God.
Yeah. We scaled it back a little bit.
Yeah, we scaled it back. Anything else, Scott?
Happy toy hunting.
Happy toy hunting. Adios.